You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here with Rory DeLaghi to look ahead to the best of Monday's racing. And some good stuff as well. Look forward to on Monday. Racing at Thurscombe Kempton in the afternoon, Chelmsford and Windsor in the evening, and also a card at Roscommon. We're recording this prior to Sunday's action, and much like Sunday, it's actually not too bad a day's racing Monday, is it, Rory, for what we're used to?
No, it's not bad at all. There are a couple of interesting cards. I do like Thirsk as a race course. And there are a couple of excellent betting events there. Biggish fields, races where there should be a considerable draw advantage to those drawn high both times. So that should find us an edge. Windsor's a lot harder in terms of generally finding an edge, but there are a couple of interesting horses there and the handicaps on the card who should pay to follow them as well.
Okay. We've got two at Thurscombe and two at Windsor to look at in just a few moments. But this being Sunday, we're going to have a brief look back at the best of Saturday's action. We'll start with the William Hill Great St Wilfrid at Ripon. Won by Don't Touch, a race depleted by non-runners in the end. That shouldn't take away from Don't Touch, who remains unbeaten, a quite remarkable horse in that sense, in that, well, you rarely see St Wilfrid winners that have that kind of profile. They're normally...
I'm not sure you've ever seen a St Wilfrid winner who's got that profile. Sprint handicaps are very difficult races, and although Don't Touch has been very lightly raced, it's remarkable to see him come through the ranks as quickly as he has. Not that long ago he was winning a maiden. First time out, and he's progressed markedly. This was an exceptional performance on the day. I thought, discussing it yesterday on the show, that he would surely be the best horse in the race in time. But I felt that being drawn right in the middle of the field against seasoned handicappers for the first time, that would count against him. And he maybe just would struggle in the day, but would be all the better for the experience and would turn into a listed class or Group 3 sprinter in time. But he overcame the run of the race to get up close home, showed a remarkable turn of foot to run down Kimberella, who had kicked clear and looked all over the winner with 100 yards to go. But Don't Touch finally got in the clear and hit top gear and really stuck his neck out as well. Everything about his performance was incredibly likable. Both the class that he showed, the turn of foot that he showed, and also the willing attitude. He really stuck his neck out in the finish to win by a head with Tatley Sue a length and a quarter back in third. Without the shadow of a doubt, he's a grip sprinter in the making. Maybe absolutely top class. Where they go with him now is a big question. And he was receiving weight from the second and third, but it's pretty much impossible for three-year-olds to get in races like this. So for him to have turned up on the day and belied that lack of experience to win was exceptional. You can point at the race and say, well, the ground had gone against a few of them and there were a host of non-runners. But actually that didn't really help him in that, you know, where he was drawn meant that he ended up racing towards the centre of the track, having to come stand side, but seeing a bit of daylight and not being ideally placed. Whereas in a huge field, he might have been able to get across to the far side, which might have been favoured in a big field there. But the way the race was run was true enough, but not necessarily in his favour. And he was backed into favouritism on the day. Got the job done, narrowly enough in the end, but in a very, very impressive way. So he's a horse to look out for.
It was a race I actually missed at the time yesterday. I had footballing commitments. But when you watch it back and you already know the result, even then you're thinking,
you can't win from there.
Something must happen here that's fairly drastic. And obviously a great turn of foot. Eccleston, slightly unfortunate perhaps, went far sides in the small group and won on the far side fairly comfortably, but never looked when they came into camera shot a furlong and a half out, your eyes were drawn to the near side.
Yeah, this is the second of two course and distance events. There's also the William Hill sponsored consolation race early in the day, which in which there was only a nose between the near and far sides. The difference here was just the fact that the smaller field meant that it was difficult for Eccleston in stall two to get across to the far rail. In fact, he never really managed to get all the way across. Mm. And obviously, the smaller the field is, the less likely they are to go there. But had you had a full-size field, then the gap from the highest or the lowest stall to the far rail would have been fairly narrow and would have made it easier for horses to get across there. So Eccleston was a little bit undone by the non-runners.
And didn't really have anything to go at in particular. Did have a pacemaker, but... nothing much. And that's the other one. Aday won the Hungerford, the other big race of the day, at 15-2, beating Coolsty and Breton Rock, and did it nicely, stepped up in trip.
He did. I thought that Aday probably had the run of things in that, in a race where it looked like we were certain to have a bit of early pace. The tactics on that as the spirit in particular were head-scratching. He's an out-and-out front runner who was held up and finished tailed off last. And there then was a bit of a dearth of early pace. So the real stayers at the trip, the likes of Breton Rock, plugged on very gamely in the end. But he's a grinder at the trip, whereas Aday is a 6 furlong horse, stepping up to 7 for the first time, settled very well in behind them. And really the only horse with a turn of foot in the race at that trip. Showed that he stayed, but in a very strongly run 7 furlongs in those conditions, it might put a bit more pressure on him. But things worked out well for him in the end, and he did it nicely. He did it with a good attitude as well.
Yeah, certainly a different question if you get a truly run 7, but can't knock what he did yesterday in winning the Hungerford. Right, we'll move on to Monday's racing then, Rory. And we'll start with Thirsk's 4:10, which is a handicap over a mile. 12 runners down to go to post for this one. Some consistent types, plenty that have raced against each other in recent weeks and months. Where should we start with this one?
Let's start with the draw bias.
Okay.
There is a bias here, and it favours high-drawn runners as long as they are ridden to their draw. It's something I bang on about an awful lot, and it's something that various people can't believe is true, because mm-hmm. Thirsk is a left-handed track. The logic is that you want to be as close to the inside rail as possible. And yet, if you watch big field handicaps over this course and distance on softish ground, you'll find that those who race closest to the far rail, especially if they're racing handily, they tend to be very vulnerable in the straight. Yeah. And those who are able to come with a run wide tend to do best. The tricky thing with the draw bias like this is that a lot of jockeys are drawn right on the outside, particularly in a big field. There's only 12 runners in this race. But in a maximum size field, there is a temptation to think, I'm marooned on the outside here. I need to move to the inner as quickly as possible.
Either drop them
it's an absolutely dreadful tactic. It never works here. But you can never be quite sure whether a jockey who hasn't ridden that much over course and distance, or even a trainer who automatically thinks it's a poor draw, will offset that advantage. Now, the issue you have here is the obvious horse in recent form is Sophisticated Air, who... put up a remarkable performance at Beverly last time, shooting clear of his field, looking all over the winner with 3 furlongs to go, but tying up badly on the last furlong as the effort took its toll. Now, he's again likely to make the running here, but he's drawn in stall one. Now, stall one's a good place to go forward from, but it does leave you very vulnerable, and we saw that he could be vulnerable last time out. Most people will look at that and go, well, if he'd rationed his energy a bit better last time out, he would have won. If he hadn't gone quite so hard. But of course, that works two ways. The fact that he went so hard from the front in the first place got most of his rivals in trouble early on and made him look like he had a winning lead before his stamina ran out. So they either ride him the same way, and he's again vulnerable, or they try to restrain him a bit more, which maybe doesn't suit him.
Okay.
So I want to be against him. There's another one with decent recent form, Woody Bay. Who's drawn in stall three. Don't like his chances either. I do like Woody Bay as a horse. I put him up when he won at Newcastle early in the season. But what he wants is a stiff 7 furlongs on a straight track, which he got at Newcastle. Mm-hmm. And his runs since have essentially been on a straight course as well, or a course with a long straight anyway. He can be slowly away and get in a poor position. And I don't think being drawn in stall three at Thirsk is going to suit him either. So I'm looking, unsurprisingly, at those drawn wide. The likes of Trinity Star, Favourite Treat, Dubai Hills and Our Boy Jack. And the one that, Televoy's drawn widest of all. He's difficult to fancy on recent form. He might just be a bit of the one who could throw in a complete shock.
The fly in the ointment.
Yeah, he's been badly out of form of late. Finishing last at Ayr And then down the field at Newmarket last time out, both poor performances. But Richard Guest has been among the winners this weekend, and it wouldn't be a huge surprise to see him bounce back from stall 12. But in recent evidence, our boy Jack, who was well held over this course and distance last time out in the Summer Cup at Thurisky, would be much better suited by this contest. Handles given the ground, and there's a course and distance winner here before. His draw in slot 11 is a positive one, and hopefully Jack Garrity, who rides, is aware of that and rides him accordingly. He, for me, is about the likeliest winner of the race, but should be a good price because, again, most people aren't aware of the advantage that wide runners have over this trip. They tend to go off at big prices. So Arbor Jack should be well priced. Favourite Treat is hard to win with, but should get the run of things as well. He's a course and distance winner in this time. His pedigree suggests he shouldn't handle the softish ground, although we'll be drying out tomorrow. But he does have form on soft and heavy ground. And while he doesn't always find an awful lot for pressure, he's in a good position to go forward as well. So he shouldn't be far away. And that pair will probably provide the value angle. But for a selection, I'll go for Arbor Jack.
Okay, Arbor Jack the pick then in the 4.10. Thirsk's 5.10 is next up, a handicap over 5 furlongs. 19 runners don't go to post for this one, Rory. Plenty with chances. Where on earth should we start with this one?
Well, once again, I think we need to start with the draw. There are two aspects of this race. Again, 5 furlongs at Thirsk with digging the ground. There should be a bias against the low-drawn horses. Yeah, you should need to be close to the stand side rail. You don't need a race necessarily underneath it, but track position to get near the stand side is very important. Mm-hmm. The other interesting aspect of the race is there's an awful lot of early speed, including from the low numbers. And I think the horses who might struggle most are those drawn in the middle, who will have nowhere to go. The temptation is to go for the horse with the best early speed among the high numbers. I just wonder whether it might suit something held up there who's able to get a run through. There aren't too many hold-up horses in the contest. The most interesting runner in the race for me is Jack Louis, who bounced back to form on soft ground at Beverley last time out, winning from the front. I think that's the first time he's made the running. He's generally races just behind the pace or races in midfield, but he bounced out and made all the running at Beverley last time out and put up a much improved performance, despite the fact that he's an exposed 8-year-old, and did it in a very good time as well. And he's drawn stall 18, so if he's able to repeat the tactics, I think he goes very close. Although in saying that, I think they could revert to slightly more patient tactics and still go well with him. He's certainly been helped by blinkers in his last two starts. Mm-hmm. Took a run just for him to get the hang of the headgear, and then he bounced back to form last time out. I think with the headgear on again and a good draw, he will take a fair bit of beating. The other one I thought might be interesting there is looking for something to come from off the pace. There are very few of them, but Ladweb for John Gallagher, drawn in stall 12. He handles holding ground very well and is a hold-up horse. Can be slowly into stride and lost his race at the start at Ripon last time out. But he will find plenty of pace to run at here. And he's another one who gets headgear. He wears a visor for the first time. That's a little bit of a shot in the dark. It can go one of two ways. But he should have a race run to suit him. He's going to be a decent price, Ladwell, because his recent form figures don't read particularly well. But he might just find things being run to suit. And if he's 20-1 or bigger, then he's worth considering.
Okay, so
the main selection is Jack Louis.
Right.
Yeah.
But Ladwell won at a price.
Yeah, but it'd be interesting to see what price he, you know, yeah. Obviously we don't see any odds at the moment, but he may just be put in at a very big price and I'll be looking at a saver.
Okay. To Windsor then for the 7.05, the first race that we're going to look at this evening. It's a filly's handicap over the extended mile trip. We've got 8 runners going to post. And eyes are drawn here to Bella Lulu first, Rory. Roger Varian trains Adam Kirby rides, has a progressive profile, as many in this field do, in fairness, but won quite nicely at Doncaster last time.
Yeah, it wasn't a particularly strong race Bella Lulu won. It was just a maiden race. But she's got a very appealing profile. She was only seen out in June, like a number from the Varian yard. The horses didn't come to hand in the spring for whatever reason, but they're now winning plenty. His strike rate in the last few weeks has been exceptional. And Bella Lulu was a good second in a maiden at Salisbury on her reappearance, only just touched off that day. And then I thought she was pretty impressive in beating Saguna a couple of lengths at Doncaster. It wasn't a strongly run race, and she didn't do an awful lot in front, so her performance on the clock is nothing exceptional. But Saguna, who she beat, was the only one to give a listed class filly of William Haggis's a race next time. Mm-hmm. I think that was at Salisbury. And then she went on to win a maiden by six lengths herself. So the form, I think, underneath that is very strong. And the fact that that pair came a long way clear of the third in a slowly run race at Doncaster suggests that the pair of them were better than the bare form, mm-hmm. as Saguna has suggested since. She's only raced on good to firm or faster ground, but the weather's set fair tomorrow. At Windsor, the going's good to firmish already, so it should be on the fast side anyway, which will suit her. It's a race that should be dominated by the three-year-olds, those who are lightly raced and still improving. So tough tasks for the likes of Stosur, Lady Marl, Trixie Malone and Isabella Bird. For all, you can argue that Trixie Malone is the best form in the race. There are several fairly unexposed three-year-olds in there against them who should hold the upper hand, Bella Lulu being the obvious one. But Postbag has also only had the three races, won her maiden in decent style at Leicester, and ran very well in her handicap debut at Goodwood, beaten less than a length by Royal Silk. That was a decent performance. It's going back to May, so the break since then is a little bit of a worry, but she should do better as well. And it wouldn't be a surprise to see Rosalie Bonheur down at the bottom. She's been disappointing this season, but was very game and progressive as a two-year-old. Mm. And she's been off the track for 9 weeks or so. Clive Cox wasn't in great form when she was last seen. He's now having winners. Cody Bear, obviously a very impressive winner at Salisbury during the week. So I would expect her to bounce back. So the way I would play the race, Bella Lulu would be the banker, and I'd have a Postbag and particularly Rosalie Bonheur in his forecast options.
Okay. The final race is the 7:35 from Windsor. 5 furlongs a trip, 9 runners going to post, and plenty of horses arriving here in good form. King Crimson was an impressive winner at Newcastle just the other night. That said, trying to follow that up won't be easy. This is a tough race and some battle-hardened three-year-olds here.
Yes. Most of these have seen plenty of action. And there aren't too many who you would describe as being progressive at this stage, but they all know how to win, and it's a difficult little race to unpick, to be honest. La Quest is coming off a long break, and as a result, it's difficult enough to fancy, and anything trained by Pat Eddery is is hard to back as a rule at the moment, although Escalating would be one of the better bred horses in his yard at mm-hmm. the moment. The two who are most interesting are going to be King Crimson, who did win well, made all the running at Newcastle, and is one of many horses advertising the well-being of the McShannon Yard at the moment. He had a good weekend. He had a couple of winners yesterday. His horse is running very well at the moment. So King Crimson should run well after a short break. The issue is that he's up in the weights, and he's had plenty of handicap experience, and you could argue that he was taking advantage of a very good opportunity at Newcastle. Mm-hmm. He'd been dropped £6 by the handicapper for a number of slightly more modest runs. He'd been second over this course and distance in his previous start, but again, that was off a mark of 68, and £8 higher does ask a lot more of him, and he's not guaranteed an easy lead with the likes of equally fast Major Pusey in the field. The horse I'd want to be with is Foxtrot Knight,
okay.
who's a course and distance winner. He won a course and distance handicap at a very good time back in June. He's been beaten in three starts since, and the obvious conclusion is that the handicapper's got him. He's had absolutely no luck in running in any one of those three runs. Met trouble in running every time. Slightly hampered at Chelmsford and Carlisle on the first two of those, and eased right out of contention after meeting serious interference at Ripon last time out, when I quite fancied his chances as well. He's a lot better than the bare form suggests, and because people tend to look at the last couple of runs rather than horse's overall profile, I think he'd be overpriced for this, and for me he's got the best form in the race.
Okay, Foxtrot Knight the pick then in Windsor's 7:35. Can you spin us through your four picks, the two at Thirsk and the two at Windsor on Monday, please, Rory?
Yes, in the 4:10 at Thirsk, I'm with our boy Jack. In the 5:10, Jack Louis. Coincidence only there. In the 7:05 at Windsor, I'm with Bella Lulu, and my final selection in the 7:35 is Foxtrot Night.
Okay, enjoy all of Monday's action, Rory. Mick Norton, Gary Capel and Ollie Pimlott will be in the William Hill Radio studio to cover all of the racing. But best luck with your picks, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.